Hello everyone, welcome to the Final Play podcast. This week we're talking NFL, week 13 of the NFL. What's that, 3 more weeks before the playoffs start, Miles? 3 more weeks?
What do we got, 14, 15, 16, 16. 17, 4 more weeks.
4 more weeks. This week we were just talking before we started, upsets galore. starting
upsets,
with
the three Thanksgiving games. Yeah, we got loads today.
Well, here's the scores. I mean, the first game, the Bears beating the Lions 24-20. I didn't think many people I seen that coming, but we'll talk about that later. The Bills beating the Cowboys 26-15. Yep. The Saints beating the Falcons. That was actually a pretty fun game to watch. I quite like what's on that game.
God,
I
don't know that was, about it. That was
it was a good game.
That was a killer game. It was a good game. Oh my god.
The Bengals beating the Jets 22-6. What the hell? First win of the season.
Oh, they're off the duck egg.
The Tennessee Titans. Now I'll talk about them later, but they're beating the Colts 31-17. The Dolphins. I mean, all they're going to do is lose, but the Dolphins beating the Eagles 37-31. The Packers beating the Giants 31-13. The Steelers beating the Browns 20-13 in a rematch of two weeks ago. The Redskins beating the Panthers 29-21. My God, there's upsets. Buckeyes beating the Jags 28-11. The Ravens beating the 49ers 20-17. The Rams finally looking like an actual Super Bowl team like they were last year, beating the Cardinals.
They look like world beaters.
34-7. The Broncos beating the Chargers 23-20. The Chiefs just, man, that was a smash fest. 40-9 against the Raiders. The Texans beating the Pats at home 28-22. And Monday night game was the Seahawks getting over the Vikings 37-30. So,
score of that one.
We could probably start with Thanksgiving. I didn't really find it an upset of the Bears beating the Lions. I don't know about you. I didn't think it was much of an upset.
Oh, no, of course not. No. The Lions are on their third string quarterback now. Yeah, Jeff Driscoll was out with a hamstring injury, so they went to a young man called David Bluff.
He was
look, for his first NFL start, 22 for 38, 280 yards, and his first NFL completion went for a 75-yard bomb to Kenny Golladay. So you can't really ask too much more than that for your NFL debut, except for maybe a win. But the Bears.
Yeah.
They get the late touchdown for the win, and that was that's pretty much all we can sort of say really about that game. Like it was there.
Well,
was
just by
Trubisky
far and away,
looked,
that was
looked pretty good.
Best
I thought
game.
He looked good.
Yeah. His best game he's played
this
year.
Yeah, but it's against the Lions.
It's against the Lions. Correct, but no, he for the way he's been copping flack, I thought it was a decent game from him. The next game was. Yeah, so I mean, it is the Cowboys losing to the Bills. The Bills have a great defense, and they come back. I mean, there's a lot of reason I'm upset. It's all stemming to the coach, but I can't believe that the 6-6 Cowboys are still on top of their division. When you look at all the other division leaders,
that's because
the NFC
East is a dumpster fire.
Well, I thought the dumpster fire was the way the Bills are playing. I thought, you know, it was always the Pats were always leading that division, and then didn't matter who was the Bills. Like, didn't matter how good they were going, because no one could beat the Pats. But
hey,
6-6,
we'll talk about it a bit later. But yeah, the Eagles losing to the Dolphins. Like that could cost them the playoffs.
Yeah,
they
I
are
think
in a
has.
With a red hot go to win the division, and then they poop the bed against Miami. Like you simply can't do that.
There wasn't a lot of takeaways from that game. Like Dak's trying.
Oh my god!
32 of 49, 355.
He was great.
He is trying, but
Cooper,
like
you
I
know,
think we
Amari
said,
Cooper finally got a, you know, got a reception as well.
like I think we said last week, I just think the Buffalo's defensive team, you know, got the job done against the Cowboys. Or it was either that or the other way. Dallas's defensive team just played like, well, Cole Beasley getting 110 yards like against his old team. Like, yeah, so I don't know which way.
Yeah, against his old team.
So.
The thing that I take out of it is Ezekiel Elliott, and I can only assume it comes down to play calling. He had 12 carries total, and he was averaging nearly 6 yards a carry.
Yeah.
So why does he only get 12? Why does he only get 12 carries?
Yeah.
Just keep feeding him. You know,
Cooper
had eight receptions for 85.
This is a guy that's led the NFL in for the last 2 years in rushing yards. So this is the guy.
Rushing, exactly.
And you're right. Just keep feeding the ball. Like it's absolutely ridiculous.
You're paying him. He's the highest paid running back in the league. Play him like it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's exactly right. Play him like it.
Don't worry about your toys. You know, your Dak Prescott's toys. Don't worry about Amari Cooper and Gallup and Randall Cobb and guys like that. Zeke is averaging in that game. He was averaging nearly 6 yards a carry, and he only got 12 carries. I think he had 6 or 7 receptions as well. But just punch the ball up the middle. It's clearly effective. So why go away from it?
It was pretty funny. Well, fun, I guess. Not funny for Cowboys, but it's pretty fun watching John Brown. He's a receiver throwing a touchdown pass, which is pretty cool.
That was awesome.
he's your first Buffalo receiver ever.
There was a few teams we could go over this week.
Yeah, Miami's trick was awesome.
Oh my god, that was insane.
How cool
that
was
insane.
It?
Insane.
Their lineup.
That was just ridiculous. Five wideouts to the left, 4 wideouts to the right.
It was awesome. And then there still was someone open. It was so good. We'll finish up with Thanksgiving. I don't want to talk about the Cowboys anymore. Yeah, I think I liked your yeah, I've had enough of them. I think I liked your Saints because it looked like Falcons were coming back. Yes, Falcons have been playing good this season, but I just think the Saints held their own, especially in that last quarter when it looked like the Falcons were coming back.
There was an onslaught in that last quarter. The Falcons got 2 onside kicks recovered.
Yeah.
They needed to get 2 onside kicks recovered, and they got it. And then, you know, like Matt Ryan got pelted in that game.
Oh.
Like, he was sacked 9 times.
Uh-huh.
I think he was hit 12 times. He just got hammered. Which still did all right. Like, he threw two interceptions, though, which, you know, which are costly when you're trying to come back from so far down.
Yeah. Jared Cook played pretty well, I thought.
Since he's come back from injury, he's been great. He has been real good. He's been essentially the number 2 receiver. You know, behind Michael Thomas and Kamara sort of got back to a little bit of form as well. You know, they're sort of getting him in the run game. They're getting him in the passing game. And when they're like that, and also Taysom Hill, you know, Mr. You know, Inspector Gadget. He was in everything. He had a rush TD. He had a reception for a TD, and he blocked a punt. Like he threw the ball. Everything.
It was incomplete.
And he had a couple of completions. He's a machine. When the Saints have got those little things going, they're very hard to stop, and they're extremely unpredictable.
I mean Drew Brees just alone. He's just a closer. Like he just closed that game off really well. I mean, next week they got next week they got the Saints at home, so that'll be a massive game for both teams.
Massive game against the 49ers in New Orleans next week. If the only thing that's sort of a little troubling at the moment with the Saints is the penalties at the moment. Like, they're giving away just way too many, just in total. Like, this week they gave away 121 yards in penalty yards. Like, that's just, you can't do that against good teams, you know. And nearly, you know, not that it nearly cost them against Atlanta, but you know, those things against good teams, you give away free penalty yards and it will cost you.
The Tennessee Titans beating the Colts probably isn't really surprising. I think I'm just taking out of that game, not so much out of that game, but Derrick Henry was unbelievable. 26 carries for 149 yards. That guy's on fire.
You could just say every week, start of the week is Derrick Henry. Wow. Like, it's
correct.
So easy to do. Like, he's just on fire at the moment.
It's probably since Ryan Tannehill started playing for him again, but are we underestimated the Titans? Like, they're 7-5 at the moment. They're only a game behind Houston. They would have been tied with Houston if Houston lost to the Pats. So
that's right.
I think we're just smoky.
Yeah, well, they're in the mix to snare one of those wild card spots. So all they can do is keep doing what they're doing. Like, you know, Tannehill, since taking over, the Titans are 5-1.
Yeah.
Since taking over from Mariota. So
I think Mariota's done too now. The way Tannehill's
playing. Well, he's done as a Titan, I would say. Like, I don't.
He's done as a Titan or anything
like that. So he'll be wearing a new shirt next year.
Well, I was gonna say, will he wear the Miami Dolphins? But you know, Fitzmagic keeps pulling all these wins out. It's getting ridiculous.
Oh my god! Oh.
Yeah, three TDs, 365 yards. He was playing so good. They are not getting it. I mean, they're gonna have all these draft picks, but they're not gonna have the number one pick. Hey?
No, they're not. No, they're not.
Devontae Parker, yeah, that was...
Devontae Parker was awesome.
He's for what I watch and what I've seen, he's up there for my start of the week because he didn't have a lot of catches, but man, did he make them count.
Oh, yeah, seven for 159, but he scored two touchdowns. So, you know, he looked every part of you know, being a number one receiver. And you know, for Fitzmagic, it comes out.
Well, they come back.
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
They were down 14 coming into the second half. So yeah, they're I don't know what they're doing. Like, I mean, they have to win, but goddamn.
No, but they're showing pride. They're showing pride in the jersey and everything, you know. And they're doing it, you know. They're doing it for the, you know, for the emblem on the jersey and for Brian Flores, the coach, and everything of that, to sort of go out there and prove and say, hey, look what we can do. You know, this guy's a good coach. You know, he's, you know, what would happen if they had a little bit more talent.
I like that Brian. Yeah, so that fourth quarter play from Brian Flores, like, everyone thought he was. It was set up that, you know, it could have been a field goal try, but you know, they took a shot.
That's right. And then everyone spreads out.
It was so good. It was so good to. I mean, everybody was talking about it. Man, it was so good to watch.
But it all was just a little backhand flick. But that's, I mean, just it would have caught him by, it would have caught Philly by surprise, and then you basically forced to cover one on one, and yeah, the punter hack just takes the snap out of the shotgun, sort of rolls out left a little bit, and Sanders the kicker just rolls into the air, just rolls into the end zone, and he just does a little backhanded flick, and there you go, there's 6 points
like
for you.
Like a flick, it's like a unreal. It's almost like a rugby league sort of at the back sort of pass he sort of did. Like a flick pass at the back.
It was a Gidley flick.
It was a Gidley flick. It was a Benji Marshall flick. So they've got the Jets next week. So, and they beat the Jets in week 9. So they have a very good chance of winning that game next week as well.
Oh, my God.
But the Eagles.
But the thing is, the Eagles, like, Carson Wentz has got nobody to throw to at the moment. Like, okay, yes. Alshon Jeffrey came back. I don't know why he's using Dallas Goedert more as a tight end receiver than what he has with Zach Ertz. So, you know, Aguilar was out. Jordan Howard was out. Like, he's just unfortunately, he just doesn't have the weapons to throw to. And you know, he's throwing 46 times. And he threw three touchdowns. Like, it was a high scoring game, but you're just like, wow, like how beat up offensively can they be?
Alshon Jeffery played pretty good in that game. He has the weapons. It's possibly like Jared Goff. Is he just, you know, well, I don't know if something's happened to him, because he was MVP candidate, like, well, up until he got injured. He was a clear MVP candidate.
No, that's right. Yeah, exactly. He was well in the mix for MVP.
They've got the Giants next week, but it's hard to say. It's Giants at home, but you wouldn't think that would be a cut and dry win for them the way they're playing.
The way they're playing at the moment, until they can start getting healthy, then you don't know. It's a crapshoot with the Eagles at the moment. It's a crapshoot with a lot of teams, but. You know, the Eagles, you beware of them if you want to take them lightly, because, you know, like you said, you know, they've still got two pretty good receiving tight ends, you know, in Goddard and Ertz. So even if you don't have the weaponry on the outside in your wide receivers, Jay Ajayi played, but they didn't use him very much. So I thought they probably could have utilized him a little bit more. So they couldn't really get the running game sort of happening too much. You know, if Wentz is throwing the ball 46 times, then, you know, whether it's by design that the run game's either not going to work or they're just not calling the run plays. But you know, if you're down a couple of wide receivers and your number one running back, then, you know, if Doug Peterson's, you know, as a coach has got a scheme better.
The game with the Steelers and the Browns, it was a terrible game. It was. I didn't really want to touch more on the game, but just the Steelers, like, so they're 7-5. They're playing with what now? The fourth string quarterback. They've got no Juju Smith.
Oh my God,
no James Conner. They lost Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown at the start of the year, and obviously I've lost his star quarterback's name. Roethlisberger.
Big
and they're getting it done. They've got seven wins. Defense. They are the number three ranked defense at the moment in the NFL. That's how they've got it. They are the number three ranked, which is ridiculous. Because I wrote them off. I don't know if you did, but everyone wrote them off. Roethlisberger.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
you know,
as soon as Big Ben went down, that was it.
They had a top 10 receiver. They had a top 10. They have a top 10 receiver. They have a top 10 running back who have just aren't playing good this year, but they keep winning. Yeah, that, you know, it's the Browns, and the Browns are playing terrible, but it's not the point. They're winning.
The thing is, the Browns' talent and on paper just overwhelms the talent that the Steelers have 10 times the amount of talent, especially offensively. And Odell Beckham Jr., 3 catches for 29 yards. Like, Freddie Kitchens is making Odell Beckham Jr. look ordinary.
Freddie Kitchens.
It's unbelievable.
It's just like Jason Garrett. Freddie Kitchens is ruining that
it's
team.
Unreal.
And Baker Mayfield only throwing 196 yards at 18-32. Like, it's just and you can't really blame all the codes. Like, Nick Chubb is probably, to me, the only person trying on that team as hard as he can. But yeah, scarily enough,
plus
with Pittsburgh,
they've got Kareem Hunt as well.
Correct. They
it's crazy. Like, it's unbelievable the talent gap that they have, you know, with number one, number two receivers and Pittsburgh on their third string quarterback, you know, fifth string running back, 10th string, they've got no tight ends. You know, Vance McDonald is essentially lifeless. Like, they just, it's unbelievable.
and have a chance of making a wild card playoff. They are second in their division, so they still have a chance.
It's madness. It's madness.
Give
Tomlin coach of the year right now.
I would give Tomlin coach of the year. Imagine if he had talent. Minka Fitzpatrick, I reckon, is a great pickup from them when they picked him up. I think that's a great pick.
That looks like a genius stroke.
So maybe Tomlin deserves coach of the year. I mean, look, all the other games, all the stuff.
No, just wanted to say, you know, just about the stuff with the Freddie Kitchens and the T-shirt and, you know, Pittsburgh started it and, that wasn't my daughter's gave me the shirt and blah, blah, blah. Everybody knows who you are, you know, on social media and, you know, people in the town and everything. You're an extension of the brand.
Yeah.
You as the head coach are an extension of the Cleveland Browns. They're already a mess. They needed this win to stay in the hunt for the playoffs. And it doesn't eventuate. Like it's just, you know, they've basically got to win out and hope other things go their way. Otherwise it's a lost season. Again.
And Freddie Soup Kitchens, I call him Soup Kitchens off other people, but if they call Soup it they all call him Freddie Soup Kitchens. There's a lot of podcasts out there, a lot of NFL podcasts that call him Soup Kitchens. He's gone. There's no way.
He's coaching his team talent, like a soup kitchen.
That's why they call him Soup Kitchens. Freddie Soup Kitchens.
Ain't no five-star restaurant there. It's a soup kitchen, all right.
Are we to worry about – I mean, the only other game that I really want to touch on, are we to worry about the Pats? I mean, they're 10-2, so we can't really go off that. I mean, but, man, Brady's got nothing to trade. Tom Brady has nothing to trade.
I heard some damning news, and I should have written them down while I was listening to a podcast today, that since week four, Brady has been in the bottom four, you know, in quarterback rating, passer rating, offensive efficiency, all of those sorts of things that you would think that Brady would be right up there, but he's not being protected at the moment. And that's where the downfall will be, unless they can get healthier on the offensive line. He only got sacked three times, but he got put on his butt 12 times. He was hit. And that's not a recipe for success. And And another glaring deficiency as well is your number one receiver is Julian Edelman. He's not getting any younger either, but you know, he's a good complimentary guy, but he's just not that number one receiver anymore. They relied on this game. They relied on James White.
Because what happened when I watched the game, they end up double teaming Julian Edelman. The Texans seem to work out the Pats game plan really, really quickly. They end up double teaming Julian Edelman. They took Sony Michel out of the game, so James White had to stand up even on rushing. But with Tom Brady getting sacked and putting his butt 12 times, you know, we're talking about a 40-year-old guy too. So it's not I mean, I don't know about you, but you know, we can wake up after any sports game. You don't feel the same like we did 10, 20 years ago. You feel completely different. It's just the way it is.
He's getting hit by extremely large men.
Correct. I mean, we all don't wake up next to supermodels, but that's not the point.
I'm sure in his mansion there, you know, up there in Foxborough that he's got on the market at the moment. So, you know, I'm sure that makes everything feel a little bit better the next morning, but it's a little worrying.
The defense is getting him there. I think it's a little worrying because, you know, they are going to make the playoffs. I mean, there's still a chance Buffalo could take the top spot. But even if they do that, you know, New England will get wild card or finish in the top, but it feels like they're gonna limp into these finals without really no clear direction. That's why Tom Brady was so passionate about keeping Antonio Brown. He knew they needed someone.
He knew.
Yeah, of course he knew.
Don't worry about that. He knew exactly what he needed. He needed some oil of Ole Antonio Brown. Like, he needs to keep himself young too, just like LeBron does. And he needs that oil of Ole, which is going to be Antonio Brown, you know, an absolute number one receiver to throw to, and that's going to keep those wrinkles. That's going to get rid of those crow's feet. that's going to have, you know, you're going to have nice, moist, supple skin on the arms. Like, that's what he needs. And I'm hearing a lot of chatter. You know, should they just put it behind them? And
that's what I heard.
Just go back and sign him.
That's exactly what I was about to say. Now, I've heard that, you know, his name's still out there. He has nothing, and I mean nothing against the Pats, Antonio Brown. But man, he keeps saying
he came out with that phony baloney, you know, apology on Twitter. I'm pretty sure it was on Twitter, you know, 6 weeks or 7 weeks after the, you know, it's too late. Like, that's the problem, you know, when it was the apology was, yeah, it was bogus, and it was 8 weeks too late. So it makes it hard for them. Yeah.
But
it makes it hard for them as a team to go back and, you know, with these lawsuits and everything, you know, these allegations and that are against him, that's what's keeping him out. If they get done and dusted, then he may be able to make a return. If they don't, then don't expect to see him.
That also put Houston on the top of the AFC South. So that's the second sort of decent team they beat. They beat the 49ers as well. So I guess they're starting to put it together. You know, they got Kenny Stills sort of playing a little bit better now, getting a touchdown.
If they can sort of utilize, you know, people other than DeAndre Hopkins, then they'll be they've got a decent two-man punch at running back as well with Duke Johnson and Carlos Hyde. So, you know, they're no slouches in the run game. So, and Deshaun Watson is also a threat in the run as well. You know, a la Lamar Jackson, obviously not as dynamic and explosive, but he can still certainly be a threat if you let him. So they could be a bit of a smoky come the playoffs, and most likely they're going to win the division. You're not sure what the Tennessee Enigmas are going to do. So yeah, I think that they're in the box seat to win the division, and you know, if you're a division winner, then you know, happy days, you host yourself a playoff game.
Was there any other sort of games you wanted to touch on before we move on to news?
Well, I guess, you know, the Sunday night game, or was it the Sunday afternoon game? The Ravens and the Niners. Yeah. You know, all action in the first half. You know, it was 17-14 in the first half, and then after that, it was a bit of a dire affair. It was only a field goal each, and that was it.
So
I thought that sort of didn't quite. You know, the first half lived up to the billing, but you know, horrendous weather in Baltimore. Like, it was absolutely pouring down. Like, that this is a couple of weeks in a row now that weather on the East Coast has been terrible. Like, it snowed in New York. It snowed for that Giants Packers game. Like, the weather along the Eastern Seaboard at the moment, it's just been rotten. So I thought that sort of, you know, both quarterbacks weren't really asked to do a whole lot simply for, you know, the rain and the wind. Raheem Mostert.
Yeah, where the hell did that come from?
Like, yeah, exactly. Literally, where did that come from?
Where did that come from? Because like you said, it was pouring down. And then I thought, okay, pouring down. You move to the running game.
That's right, yeah. You know, even yeah. Lamar Jackson had over 100 yards rushing.
Oh. And he broke through the defense too to get a touchdown, which is absolutely ridiculous for a quarterback. He broke through a defense. Quarterbacks don't do that.
But, yeah, but he only passed for 105 yards. Like, yeah, it's crazy.
I think those two will meet again. If
those two are going to meet again, it's going to be in Miami at the Super Bowl.
Well, you know, the way it was a good competitive game. The way they're playing, like, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to rule out any team. You can't rule out the Pats, but man, I personally hope they don't meet again.
Because that means that the Saints haven't made the Super Bowl. So I personally hope they don't meet again this year.
Well, there's a lot of teams on 10-2 now at the moment, isn't there?
There is now. Now the Seahawks winning on Monday night.
So the Seahawks, the Niners, the Ravens, the Pats, and your boys, yeah?
There's 10-2 teams everywhere.
I mean, obviously, yous were the first team to clinch the division too.
Oh yeah, the division's done. So
yeah, five and seven.
Well, that's the thing, and especially after Carolina just completely just pooed all over themselves against Washington. Like, good God, like you can't be in your home, in your building there, in Charlotte, and let Washington come in and do what they did. Can't do that. You can't do that. That's not on. Haskins isn't even helping them win. It's unreal. Darius Geis, this is his second or third game back from injury now. He was great. A couple of touchdowns, 129 rush yards. He's the guy that they need him to be, and with him and Adrian Peterson there, then they've got a pretty a pretty heavy run game there, and you don't need Haskins to win you a game. You just got to get Haskins to not lose you the game.
It's kind of scary. I don't think I've thought of a season, and this is talking about the NFL draft for next year. There's going to be a lot of teams after a lot of quarterbacks next year, and I mean a lot of teams. There's been a lot of injuries, obviously. We're playing with a lot of second, third, fourth string quarterbacks, but man, there's going to be a lot of teams that need quarterbacks, and that's just the way it is, unfortunately.
And the team that get off the duck egg, Cincinnati, going back to the Red Rifle, and that.
they'll still get number one, a Jets team that
won three straight, and they were looking okay, and then they go to Cincinnati and pull out that sort of performance. You've got one of the highest paid running backs, one of the best running backs that's going around, and he has 10 rushes for 32 yards. Like, their offensive line and their ways to try and scheme open holes for Le'Veon Bell is an absolute joke.
Yep, it's quite, yeah.
Even in those Jets wins, Lev is just not Le'Veon Bell. This isn't Le'Veon Bell from the Steelers from 2 years ago. It's just not him. It must be frustrating the hell out of him.
Yeah, but I mean, it doesn't help when you've got a terrible. It's like Odell Beckham Jr. Really, if we're talking about two high profile players that moved in the off season, and those two, they're playing for terrible teams, and that's just the way it is. They are playing for terrible teams. So
yeah, well, the OBJ, it just. You can't trade them either.
They both signed decent contracts. You can't cut them either. They both signed big contracts.
Three receptions.
Yep.
You know, and so I said this last week. You know, when when Amari Cooper had zero receptions on two targets. You honestly think that Sean Payton is scheming up two targets for his number one receiver? Like, what? It just doesn't make any sense. Like, it's like they've got too many options. You know, they've got two terrific running backs. They've got two dynamic wide receivers. He's a kid in a candy store, and he doesn't know which one to put in his bag first. Like, who do I use? Do I use Landry? Do I use OBJ? Like, it's very strange.
So moving on to some news, a couple of things. Oh, there's a few things that stood out. The Patriots have waived their fourth kicker of the season again. So they Kai Forbath was waived 3 days after signing a contract to replace Nick Folk.
Ouch.
It feels like this is all set up for a classic. Pats get to the final, and you know who they're going to sign, or who I think they're going to sign. It's going to be, he'll probably get the game winning field goal somewhere. It'll be Adam Vinatieri.
Well, I was just about to say, man, holy moly, he's missed 14 extra points and field goals this year. Like, that's okay. You know what is he? 57 years old? Like, he's Santa Claus. He doesn't have his beard. I don't think he's got his beard anymore. But he had his Santa Claus beard at the start of the season. He has been awful for the Colts. Like, he had a block. He missed a field goal. He missed the field goal. He had a block. He had a field goal block that was ran for a touchdown. Like, he's been ordinary, and that's just that's one thing for me. I was going to pose you the question. Two people this year. Are Adam Vinatieri and Philip Rivers, are they done?
Adam Vinatieri, you watch. I don't guarantee. I'll throw it out there. I think
besides the fact that he'll get picked up by the Pats.
He'll get picked up by the Pats, and you watch. He'll kick a game-winning field goal in the playoffs, and everyone will love Adam Vinatieri, and he'll play for another 20 years. Philip Rivers... Yeah, man. Literally. He looks 57.
He has thrown eight interceptions in the last three games, and he's just looked ordinary. Man, that game in Mexico this week, they just keep finding ways to lose the Chargers this year.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure all of their losses are one score and under.
Yep.
Their season could be totally different. It's crazy.
They're 4-8, so I think they're done. They're done, but it's hard to pass on Philip Rivers for, you know, he had such a good season. He's been consistent, so it's hard to, you know, he's had one terrible year, correct, but, you know, he doesn't have anyone to throw to. Well, this is true. He's got Keenan Allen.
Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. Like, Mike Williams is one of the better deep threats in the league. You know, he's got Melvin Gordon there. He's a good pass catching running back. He's got Austin Eckler. Like, he's just not as if he does here. If he doesn't have a plethora of options to be able to get the ball to, he's just been. They've put a lot of Chargers games sort of on TV this year, and I've seen a few of them, and he's got that round arm action. It just I don't know. He just looks, and every time he gets hit, he's just so dejected afterwards. You're just like, man, he's turning into Eli Manning. Like, every time last year Eli Manning was hit, he just got up with this dumbfounded look on his face, just going, wow, is this really happening? Like, is this really happening to me? Like, just the decline and the drop off, I think, has been jarringly quick.
And he's not getting any younger either. He's not getting any younger. So I don't think he's done. But I think obviously their season's done. I don't think he's done. At least not this year. I don't think so. Vinatieri, he's a kicker.
He doesn't have a contract for next year.
Philip Rivers. No, he doesn't have a contract. But all I'm saying is he mightn't be a first-string quarterback, but someone will pick him up. He's not done. He's not done. Like that, he's not done. Speaking of quarterbacks, Minshew Mania, they Jacksonville Jaguars.
It's back. He's
back for the rest of the year. So Nick Foles looks like he succumbed to his injury and his broken collarbone. So Doug Marone's announced that Gardner Minshew.
Do you want to say that he's been shut down for the season or that he's been benched for the rest of the season? I prefer shut down for the season, and they may as well just roll with Minshew for the rest of the season. The Jag season's lost, so you may as well roll. May as well roll with Minshew.
Yeah, I would. I mean, you know, why rush back for you're not going to get a winning season, so throw with Minshew. I think rest him. Like Foles is, I love Foles. I mean, look at what happened with the Philadelphia Eagles. So,
that's right. You know, get him healthy. You know, it's unfortunate that he had that collarbone injury. You know, in the first 5 seconds of the season, it was felt like that. But he's just been, I don't know, he just looks a little out of sorts. The Jags haven't been terrific this season. Wildly inconsistent. You know, Leonard Fournette as a high draft pick from a few years ago now is up and down.
Good season.
He played better this year than what he was last year.
Last year he was much better.
Yeah, he was ordinary last year. He has been much better this year.
Any other news before we move on to some studs and duds of the week? Cowboys duds.
Just one thing that sort of caught my eye. A couple of things that sort of caught my eye. On the Sunday night game, Houston had lost 8 straight against New England until Sunday night or Monday for us. Yeah. So I thought that was sort of interesting. So he sort of got the monkey off his back a little bit there. When it comes to that, as much as we don't want to harp on the Cowboys, but they're 0-5 against teams that are 500 or better. So that's, once again, they've got the groceries there. They've got the groceries there, and Jason Garrett's just not cooking a nice meal.
Yeah, exactly right. That's exactly right. And if just from that stat alone, they'll limp into the final. They'll make the playoffs, but man, they're not going to get past the first round. If you can't beat any team over 500, they're not going to get past the first round.
They'll get bounced in the first round. They'll get bounced in the wild card round.
They will. It's just that simple, unfortunately, but I don't care. Until Jason Garrett goes, I'm done with the Cowboys this year. Obviously, I'll keep watching, but I'm done. I've had enough.
Oh, never fear. You know they might spring one on you once they get into the playoffs.
As shit as it is, they're winning the division. So that's a silver lining.
You're right. Yeah, you're right. They're going to win the division. They're going to win the division at 8-8.
Fuck off. They probably will, but that's not the point.
Oh man!
Did you have a dart of the week?
I just thought everything sort of my the dud of the week is okay. The people of Cincinnati. Okay. Your team's terrible. I get it. Ryan Finley is not the answer. You've gone back to the red rifle. You get the W. You know, you're off the duck egg now. You beat just a hapless Jets into the ground. But this week was the smallest home crowd in Cincinnati at what's it called? Synergy. I think it's Synergy Field or whatever it's called. Since 1995.
Yep.
39,804. So there must have been, there was empty seats everywhere. Like, and you just don't see that in the NFL a whole lot.
Not an NFL
Washington's
game.
The same. Washington's the same. Like, their stadium is empty.
Yep.
Like, it looks so bad.
And that's at Arrowhead Stadium. That stadium is of what I've read and everything, that stadium is super loud. I think it's like it's close to 100,000 people, but you're right. It just looks terrible. And it's funny, these crowds we're talking obviously aren't NRL crowds, but in an NFL standpoint, that you know, the NFL have to be sort of disappointed because that doesn't happen in NFL. You know, this is America's game. This is what they love.
But not so much the NFL. Like, that's the owners. That's costing the owners money.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have butts in seats, that's costing. That's the bottom line. That's costing. When you put a poor product out there, then that costs you money in the end.
When if you look at the ticket prices, so their tickets are as low as 20, and if we go to the Saints and 49ers game. The tickets in the 49ers Saints game, the lowest ticket you'll get is $213. So,
ooh, bargain.
So,
get on those to get to the Superdome this Sunday. Woo!
Chiefs have got the Patriots this week too. That's going to be a massive. Man, that's two big games.
This next week is going to be a barn burner.
Okay, good. There's gonna be
it's gonna be a slobber knocker.
It's funny, then it's gonna be a barn burner in certain games, and then it's gonna be dumpster fires in the Dolphins and the Jets. And whose tickets are as high as $16. And the Bengals and the Browns.
Oh my god.
Yeah, no, I was going to sort of mention the crowd, so I'll echo on that's a dud of the week. I was going to mention the crowds and how pitiful, you know, that just doesn't happen in NFL. It doesn't happen. They literally shut the towns down.
Doesn't matter what sort of product they put out there, you generally still get decent crowds, even if your team is horrible. But the two that I've noticed the most this year is Washington, and Miami to an extent as well, but Washington and Cincinnati have been extremely poor attendance this year.
My start of the week, Derrick Henry's just playing unbelievable, and probably does deserve start of the week. I'm giving it to this guy for start of the week purely because of the flack he's been copying, and that is Mitchell Trubisky. Just leading, yes, it was against the Detroit Lions, but you know his quarterback rating was pretty good at 118. He did throw one interception, but you know to get three touchdowns, he's just I don't like the player. Like this is the team that unfortunately passed on Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson. So
that's right. If you could forgive it if it was one or the other, like okay, we passed on Patrick Mahomes
and traded up
Deshaun Watson, but they passed on both.
And traded up for Mitchell Trubisky. They traded up from three to two.
Yep, traded up
and
from three to two.
And got a lot of picks to get him. And, you know, Deshaun went like, what did Deshaun go? Like 30. Mahomes went 10. I think Deshaun went like 25 to 30 or something.
I think they were pretty close. Andy Reid traded up because he knew he wanted Mahomes. I'm pretty sure Deshaun Watson went 13th.
Yeah, but Chicago passed on them both. But yeah, full credit to Trubisky. Right. You know, it was against the Lions, but he still played good.
Can only play who's in front of you, and you know it's on a short turnaround as well. You know, on Thanksgiving Day, so
that's right.
And you know, for all the Detroit Lions fans out there, and if you know that Jalen Rose is a massive, you know, the massive Detroit Lions fan. You know, that's his hometown and everything. And he's always said that the Thanksgiving Day for Detroit is their Super Bowl.
Did you have a start of the week before we finish up?
For me, We mentioned him a little bit earlier, but you're Raheem Mostert.
Yeah.
Yeah, to have a breakout game like that, unfortunately in a loss, but Tevin Coleman hasn't been able to sort of, in the last couple of weeks now, hasn't been able to get a lot of traction in the run game. But for him to come in and have just a dynamic game like he did, 19 rushes, 146 yards, like a career, it was a career day for him. I thought he was great against a pretty good defensive line in the Ravens, and for him to be able to do, to be able to do what he did, and even score a touchdown himself, to try and help, the 49ers in that horrendous weather. I thought that was terrific.
Yeah, well, considering like what's been happening with Emmanuel Sanders, that was a high profile sort of trade to the 49ers, and I haven't heard little bits, but I haven't heard much of him since he's been traded.
When he first got there, like it was touted as a genius stroke that now you can actually get a good number one receiver there that they got they got him from Denver, but that like we said, that game wasn't conducive to good quarterback play. Driving wind and rain like that, that was never going to be the case. So for Emmanuel Sanders to be in the game was going to be dip, but he hasn't been sort of featured in the last couple of weeks. He's been hurt as well. I think he had a rib issue, so he's been a little bit banged up. Along with a lot of 49ers at the moment. George Kittle is not 100% healthy. All they've got to do is, their destiny's in their own hands, the Niners. So they try and stay healthy, probably not put so much emphasis on getting the number one seed, and trust in the guys that you got.
Well, that'll do it for this week of the NFL podcast. Don't forget to follow us on all the socials, SoundCloud, Facebook. But with Facebook, special shout out to Radix, who is now 100th like. We have 100 likes now.
My man Radix. Radix.
What is our 100th like?
He's a good dude, Radix. Radix, my man, thanks a lot for the support, and shout out to you, brother, and we'll see you on the hard court when I get back home. So shout out, man.
Beautiful. That's a nice way to finish it. We'll have a good NFL week, everyone. Check out the games this week. Yeah, there's some bumper games this week. This week I think will be the week where
knockers.
I think there's a few teams also just up on the basically if they lose, theoretically they're out. But there's especially those big games, I think there's a couple of teams that, well, like the 49ers, that if they win, then they might clinch the division. But yeah, I guess this will sort them out to see how they're going to come into the playoffs.
They're not winning this week.
Of course they're not. We'll see. It'll be a good game, but. They need to especially that I think it's going to be close purely for the fact of they have a great defense, and if any team, like, no one can seem to touch Breeze at all. Their offensive line, offensive line is absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
They've got one
ridiculous.
Of the best offensive lines going around. So they should be able to protect Breeze, but Breeze isn't the most mobile quarterback in the world. So if they flush him out of the pocket, we could be in a bit of trouble.
Yeah, there's a couple of big boppers, and Bosa just scheming on the outside, trying to smash Breeze.
Bosa's going to eat him for lunch.
Everyone.
They're going to throw Taysom Hill in there.
we'll see how that goes.
Oh my lord. Righto, enjoy your football weekend, everybody.
Peace.
See ya.